R. Boosinger, and we're going down the road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails of North Carolina, home to a rich heritage of America's traditional music.
Bobby Hicks is a fiddling icon. His career as a recording artist and performer has spanned more than 7 decades. During this time, Bobby's style, session work, and touring have helped to define the bluegrass fiddle. We sat down with Bobby to chat about Western North Carolina, his time with Bill Monroe, and much more. In 2006, Bobby moved to Marshall with his wife, Kathy, and he was quick to share why it's a special place to him.
That's part of it, but the people here, you know, are so different, so friendly, so nice.
Everybody has been to me, anyway. Mm-hmm. I can go downtown, and people I don't even know call me by my first name.
In October 2022, Bobby was awarded the Bascom Lamar Lunsford Award by Mars Hill University.
I'm happy that the people around here think I play well enough to have it. It was real important to me to get it, you know, that they thought that much of me around here. Mm-hmm.
Here's what Bobby has to say about the quality of musicians in Western North Carolina.
Well, there's some good players, and it seems like the younger ones play better than the older guys. Like the little girls that come down to the jam down there and play. Mm-hmm. Man, they play good for that age. And I guess Roger Howell is probably the best old-time player I ever heard. Arville Freeman was a good player, too.
Bobby spent some time reflecting on his bluegrass jam at Zuma Coffee in downtown Marshall, which has become a mainstay in the regional music scene.
Well, you know what? I had people coming from all over the country to the jam to play. I had a couple of people that came from Australia. One from New Zealand, one from London, England, came over here just to come to my jam, they said. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe I'd go that far to see somebody in England. But this is the only place they could see me anymore, I guess, so they decided if they wanted to see me, they had to come here. And I really do appreciate that. I've had a lot of friends from the Grand Ole Opry to stop in and play down there.
Bobby also shared how he decided to play a 5-string fiddle.
I was playing the harmony stuff when I was with Judy Lynn's band in Las Vegas. And I always liked the harmonies that the Osmond Brothers had, you know, with the high lead. Mm-hmm. And harmonies below it. And I put that 5th string on there so I could play harmonies a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. That's the main reason I put it on there. But it seems like since I've come back here with a 5-string fiddle, everybody in the bluegrass business wants one now. Mm-hmm. And most of them have them. But
here, Bobby reflects on his time playing with Bill Monroe.
Well, I played 2 weeks with him, Carlton Haney, the guy that invented the bluegrass festivals. Mm-hmm. You know, he had the first one. He wanted me to play bass with Bill Monroe for 2 weeks. He had him booked around that area, you know, for 2 weeks, and he didn't have a bass player. So Carlton came over to have to see if I'd play bass for him for 2 weeks. And at the end of them 2 weeks, the last show we did in them 2 weeks was in Burlington at one of the theaters there. I forget what the name of the theater was. But anyway, he had Red Taylor and Gordon Terry playing fiddle with him. But he would feature me on the fiddle on one song on every show. And he liked what I played, I guess, because at the end of that 2 week stint with him, was playing bass for him. He asked me to go to Nashville and play fiddle for him because Gordon Terry had already passed his physical to go in the military, and Red Taylor had already turned in his notice that he was quitting when he got back to Nashville. So that left him without a fiddle player. Mm-hmm. So He asked me if I wanted to go to Nashville with him. Hell, he didn't have to ask me but once.
Bobby was a fiddler on some of Bill Monroe's seminal instrumental tunes, including Wheelhouse, Roanoke, Scotland, and Monroe's Hornpipe. Here, he reflects on that impact.
Well, it makes me feel good that everybody liked what I did on those things, enough to play them over and over, you know. I don't feel like it was anything extra special, you know, because that's just the way I played at the time. And that's about it.
In his time playing with the Bluegrass Album Band, Bobby helped to reintroduce much of the original bluegrass repertoire to a new generation. He offered some insight on why that band had such an impact.
They were all professional musicians that had played bluegrass for quite some time. And we didn't even rehearse, you know, the songs we recorded. We just walked in the studio and cut them, because everybody knew what he was supposed to do, and he was capable of handling it. So everything came out all right with that. We did 6 volumes. We did 5, and then Tony lost his voice. And the 6th volume was all instrumental. But I was on 5 of the 6. It was supposed to be just a bluegrass album for Tony, and when we got through with it, and they mixed it down and everything, it was so good, Tony wanted to do another one. So after that one, he wanted to do another one. We were going to do 10 volumes of that album to begin with, after he decided he wanted to make more, because that was a good band. Seemed like everybody knew exactly what they needed to do, and everything came together kind of like the Flattened Scruggs band, you know, when they came together, that was the band. Yeah. And that's what the album band got to be.
At the age of 89, Bobby has a unique perspective on the way that musicians find inspiration across generations, like how he spent his early days in Nashville learning as much as he could from Dale Potter.
Ricky sent me a thing that he found on YouTube, I believe, of Dale Potter playing with Monroe, and me standing behind him just looking at his fiddle and watching what he was doing. Huh. And I did a thing up at ETSU here just a couple of weeks ago. And I was playing something, and this girl was sitting beside me, another fiddle player. She was sitting beside of me, and she was looking at my fiddle like I did at Dale Potter. And I thought of that right when I saw it.
You'd better listen when a 10-time Grammy Award winner pontificates about good music. Bobby's thoughts.
People being in tune and playing in tune and having good timing with their music. Mm-hmm. It's what I think makes the basic best part of music. I have taught it a few times, but it's kind of hard to tune a fiddle and get it really in tune. I used to teach all my students to start with how to tune their fiddle to start with. Because if you play out of tune, you'll never play in tune. Because your left hand will develop a memory of its own. And if it develops a memory of playing out of tune, you'll never play in tune.
Bobby also delivered a final message to the podcast audience and the Blue Ridge Music Trails of North Carolina.
Really do appreciate you wanting me to be on there.
Absolutely.
And then put me on the cover of another one of their books if they want to.
With a life and career that has taken Bobby Hicks across the musical landscape, he's chosen to make his home in the mountains of Western North Carolina. And to the community, he's given freely of his legendary musical talent, his beaming smile, and his generous heart. You can learn more about traditional artists along the Blue Ridge Music Trails at BlueRidgeMusicNC.com.
Down the road he comes to the turn, a rocks in a road as big as a churn. Down the road, I've got a sugar baby down.
Road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails is brought to you by the Blue Ridge National Heritage Area, the North Carolina Arts Council, and WNCW-FM.